Brian, welcome from Ground to Great, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. Brian Poole, how are you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Alex for letting me use the equipment today. I'm excited for how it's going to sound. We're at Brian's house, kind of a farm style. Did you know growing up that's kind of what you wanted?
Mm-mm.
No? What were you expecting originally?
Not at all.
What were you thinking?
I definitely like the idea of land. I just never really put two and two together until kind of just showed up at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I was dating Kaylin at the time, and she is actually one who purchased this property.
Mm.
I was just the hired help. So, you know, I helped out with the manual labor.
Yeah, I was going to say the free manual
fences,
labor. Yeah,
The animals, and then we got some chickens, and chickens were kind of like the gateway farm animals to other animals.
Was that the first one? Chickens were the first?
So she had the horse.
Okay.
The dark brown one out there that's the furthest away.
Oh, yeah.
Her name's Big Girl.
Big Girl.
And she's had her since she was a baby, and she's, I think, 11 years old right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Big Girl was technically the first one. But then I think after that, we got some chickens from across the street, and then those turned into the two white goats over there. Those were next.
Yeah. Is that how they get? Is that how big they get?
Yeah, so those are Nigerian dwarf goats.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like the size of like a heavy set golden retriever.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, we got four does, and we also have a buck as well. So they're the goats that you'll typically see on like Facebook videos of like the baby goats jumping around and, you know, whatever, PJs are looking adorable. That's typically that breed for the most part. Because they're just super small and energetic.
Wow.
They're fun. It's kidding season is a fun season out here.
Yeah. It reminds me of I went to a vineyard or a winery, and they're telling me that they have like kind of just dwarf goats or baby goats that go along and are along the winery to eat all the weeds, they're too short to eat the grapes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they keep it trimmed too.
That's the 2.0 side hustle, yeah.
It's crazy. So the dwarf goats aren't the greatest. They're a little picky. At least ours are.
Oh, okay.
However, if we let them out, they'll eat all the plants that you don't necessarily want them to eat, which is why our garden is all fenced off and all that stuff too. Yeah. But I don't know. They'll definitely pick at the weeds after they eat all the things that you don't want them eating.
Wow. Yeah, no, they're
but
picky.
They will clean up. They're good at that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
And then, after the goats, we ended up getting cows like about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that. And we got the two up front that we see here. And then we actually have another one in the back as well. So that's the milk cow.
Nice.
But it keeps us busy, that's for sure.
I bet it does. Yeah. Man. So is this the same? Okay, so for the listeners that want to know kind of a backstory on Brian, how Brian and I met.
Yeah.
Brian is my flight instructor. Or I guess my first instructor.
One, yeah.
He taught me how to fly, and now he's at Southwest Airlines.
Yep. Made it.
He made it. Yeah. After the grind.
Oh man.
And now he gets to enjoy out in his porch and just keep, you know, have projects too. So I like it because
after it.
Yeah. Because I feel like with the airlines, you have time to be able to go. I mean, obviously, you have to kind of build up seniority and you get all these kind of like crazy hours. And, but you can come back and you have time to do these projects. You know.
Yes. Absolutely. So, and with a place kind of like this, there's a lot to keep my hands busy.
Yeah, I bet.
But no, it is super nice, especially when you get to like the airline industry. Like there's a lot of pilots who I've flown with who have like secondary careers almost, it seems like, just because of the amount of time off in between that they have.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, to your point, whenever you get the seniority, they'll get like a certain set schedule, certain days of the week or whatnot.
Like it's more predictable.
Exactly. Mm. Yep. And that's kind of how things roll. Like Southwest is pretty sweet because it's all the same airplane, so it's like one type rating for the 737, even though we fly like three different 737 models. You can trade with other pilots at your own base, but you could also trade at different bases if you're wanting to go to LA or Las Vegas or somewhere relatively close, you know, one flight away.
Yeah.
And adjust your schedule that way. So there are a lot of opportunities to kind kind of make your schedule what you want, even if it's not necessarily what you get right out of the gate.
Yeah. Did you know you wanted to go in the airlines?
No, man, no.
How'd that come up?
It's funny. It came up after I was already in college. I went to junior college up in Rockland, so Sierra College. Mm-hmm. I played water polo and I swam there. And then after that, I transferred down to go swim and play water polo in University of La Verne down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And even in my junior year, I still really didn't know what I wanted to do. I think it was my senior year, I started doing like an internship at a real estate office, like a little mom and pop shop down there.
Yeah.
And I got my real estate license, was working there after the internship.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I did that for, I don't know, maybe about a year or so.
Does that give you a good eye? Sorry to interrupt. No, does that give you a good eye, like kind of like to how to build value into houses? Because you're remodeling the house now, so.
To a degree, yeah. I definitely think, I mean, the real estate stuff, it's not easy per se, but it's also not hard to get into. But I think you got to be like wanting to learn about it. Mm-hmm. And I think even if you just go out and look at, even if you look at Realtor or Zillow, you kind of know, mm-hmm. and like kind of get your thoughts from there. If you look at it enough, mm-hmm. I think you can kind of pick and choose similarities and differences that will add and take away value to other properties. Mm-hmm. I definitely think real estate is something that I was previously interested in, mm-hmm. for the long way about to answer your question.
Yeah.
It was, that's kind of where I was at, but also being younger, I wasn't really making a lot of money doing that. So mm-hmm. I paired that with a seasonal position at Costco.
Nice.
Down in Montclair, California. And that was great. I liked working at Costco, but I just didn't see myself there long term.
What was good about Costco?
I think they were just like, it was like, I think their overall business model was pretty ideal.
Yeah.
They kind of, as a, like the higher ups in the company, mm-hmm. they were big about kind of putting their employee first.
Ah, yeah.
Because they believe that by doing that, if you're showing up to work happy with a smile on your face, you're going to go above and beyond or out of your way to make the customer feel that way too.
Yeah. I've seen that too at Costco firsthand.
And dude, it's people show up there and they're like thoroughbreds, you know, you're working with thoroughbreds rather than mm-hmm. people who don't necessarily want to be there. So they're just hardworking people. And it's, I think overall a pretty solid company to work for.
Yeah.
But
and they're proud of the work. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say so. They definitely work you.
Okay.
But they also are, I think, slightly above like kind of like the average, like if you were to get a position, say at another retailer of sorts, mm-hmm. like them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where like it all started. And again, going back to aviation, all right, dude, like, come on.
My bad. Yeah.
No.
Sidetracked.
That's kind of how it started.
That's probably how I felt like too, you know, kind of the sidetrack,
like,
even
honestly,
in the podcast.
I didn't know, which is kind of why. But then I got to a point to where I was like, all right, I want to do something a little bit different. Mm. And I was a little money motivated. So I kind of started looking at other options. And then I took like 3 online career aptitude tests, and I didn't really, I don't remember the names of them or whatnot, but I think it was all 3 of them actually came back with piloting within the top 2 professions to kind of look out for.
What was one?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what was what, but like, mm-hmm. it was kind of funny because it was like a, you know, FBI agent or something like, something like top notch. Like, I feel like this like clickbait type stuff to like be like, all right, you know, something crazy. But it was kind of like the reasoning behind it, the only one that I really recall was like you kind of get to still do your own thing, in the sense of you don't have a boss breathing down your neck, and in a roundabout way you do, but you don't at the same time because it's just you and another coworker up in the airplane. But I saw that as an option and didn't know anyone in the family but who had like an aviation background, but the career aptitude test is kind of what got me into it. So I looked up like a demo flight and did that actually down in Southern California. And I was like, all right, I get bored pretty easily, but I feel like if I get bored in aviation, I could fly a different airplane or go to a new airport or, you know, kind of spice it up.
Yeah.
Different ways.
Definitely.
Which is kind of how I got into it. So roundabout answer, but that's pretty much kind of where it came in.
What point in your aviation career where did you like really fall in love with it, you know?
I would say it was honestly like near the beginning, because I'm pretty goal-oriented. So like kind of once I really got started going on the private pilot license and all those, as a student pilot doing that, I'd say that was kind of the point whenever I was like, all right, I'm going all out on this. Like, what's my end game? And I think kind of long-term, so like 10-year, 15-year game plans, I was kind of weighing all the options.
Yeah.
Falling in love with it, that's a tricky question for me. I do love flying, but it's not like a crazy passion that I was ever really like fully passionate about, if that makes sense. And I know that is kind of, it's almost like a tricky thing to say, because I know it's a lot of people's passions and a lot of people love it.
But I think it's okay, because it's a career where, how we discussed before, it literally gets you to have the time and space to do the things that you really love, right?
Absolutely.
And so you're able to kind of almost segment your life into things of, okay, I got work, and the work is fueling the dreams.
Yep.
And so that kind of turns into part of the dream too, you know?
And that's and I'm glad you said that, because that's that's exactly kind of how I kind of portray it as well.
Gives you more freedom almost.
The job I have, it's a job. I enjoy it nonetheless, but I love that my job allows me to do what I love to do, which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like kicking back and hanging out with the animals and just kind of enjoying life. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I'm happy I found it at an early enough age to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
do you think your goal-oriented mindset, did that come from Boy Scouts at all? Or did it, or at what point in your life kind of were you, because we've definitely during our, while you were teaching me in Davis, we always kind of had this kind of entrepreneur mindset or investing,
fun,
you know, and part of that comes with having that goal-oriented mindset, having the exact same thing we're talking about, having a job that will then pay off or almost look as an investment to have the time and freedom to do the things you love, right?
Yeah.
So it's always kind of been like a, even though maybe you're not per se in a business or anything, I would still completely say you still kind of have that entrepreneur or business mindset.
Yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. The Boy Scout aspect, I definitely think it teaches you a lot about long-term goals, because I personally started whenever I was in Cub Scouts. So I don't recall exactly
Since the beginning? Since the first one?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. Cub Scouts?
Yeah, but which one did you go into? Like, were you like straight like Tiger or?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It was like Tiger, what is it? Tigers, Bears, Scout, Weeblos, all that stuff. I don't remember the exact order.
Yeah,
but
so you started on the first one.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. And I got a lot to thank my parents for that, because, you know, I mean, I'm sure they.
A big part of it is the parents.
Yeah. A lot of the community. So friends were in it, but. Yeah. As time went on and more friends dropped out, as I'm sure you're aware, it's kind of like, all right, why am I still doing this? But I think having my parents kind of keeping me on that straight and narrow, like, you gotta keep going.
Yeah.
In a nice way, but in a loving way.
Yeah. Friendly push.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, that on the low times whenever I was like, all right, there's, why am I still here?
Yeah. I think everyone had those.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, that's also why, what do they say? Only 3% of Boy Scouts end up becoming Eagle Scout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of why I attribute that to.
Yeah, it's single digits for sure.
Yeah.
And it's around
finishing long-term goals for sure.
Yeah. What was your project?
I ended up doing, I ended up making like color guard boxes for the Dixon High School marching band. That went on top of uniform racks while they traveled for marching band.
Oh, okay.
So it, like, they get trailered up, but the color guard that spells out Dixon whenever they're walking down the parades. Yeah. It was like really nice, like foam padded, like hinges that opened up with some, it was all, yeah, kind of crazy. But
nice. Is it still there?
To my knowledge, yes.
Nice.
But I should probably pay them a visit just to do some paint touch-up or something. Probably at least for that.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so that was a part of it. And then there's also some like storage things that were facilitated within the band room at the Dixon High School as well. So yeah. Along the same lines.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, Boy Scouts and then did band and all that stuff.
Nice.
Growing up. So always good to give back and to the things that you were a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in orchestra.
Okay.
But I got out of that and when I was joining high school, I was like, I never really liked it. It was more my sister's thing, and my parents were like, let's try it out. And I never really liked it. Yeah, she was like first violin and everything. I was second. I was in the very far back. I'd have to air bow sometimes, just slightly hover over the strings.
Can't tell the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
probably
yeah.
Great.
Like, as long as it looks like it's in sync with everybody else,
that's
right?
Hilarious.
Like, I swear if you, like, look at the tapes, you'd probably see my eyes looking at someone else over the actual paper.
Oh, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
But it was fun because we would go to all these trips. I think we went to Six Flags for sure. We went to Great America.
Okay.
I think those were the big ones. Yeah. I think if I were to suck longer, I would have gone to more trips.
Yeah.
I know they do overseas, like Europe, too.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about is kind of all those, different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to different places, but also, like, challenging yourself to see how long you can go without getting caught playing the airbow. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I just faked it.
That's a whole new level.
Yeah. It's hard to get to my level,
that's good. That's funny.
What instrument did you play for band?
Mainly saxophone.
Okay. Oh, okay. I did saxophone too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
I started out I think back in third grade or something, third or fifth grade playing piano.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what got me started. And then saxophone was the main instrument throughout high school. Mm.
So I know we said that we would talk a lot about like investing or like, business. Like what, since you're able to have that time to open up to these, to the things you like doing, like what new ideas have you been working on, thought about? What's your time invested in now?
This project, like the house,
yeah.
The house project and all that stuff. It's been about 10 months since we've kind of started this journey. We took our previously 2-bedroom 1-house and turned it into a 3-bedroom 2-bath and then an office. So we pretty much doubled the square footage.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, but the overall design and floor plan layout we pretty much came up with.
Nice.
And like kind of going through all that stuff is very time consuming.
I bet it is. Especially when it's two people thinking about it,
Because
has to be two tastes, that have to be combined.
Yeah, that's true. And the good news is Kaylin and I, my wife, we're very good with the flow, especially when it comes to each other. But they're like, if we each have something that we're very certain about, odds are the other person's not as certain. So we're pretty complementary whenever it comes to each other's style, which is
that's cool.
Very helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when undertaking a project as large as this one.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, as far as like entrepreneurial stuff outside of that, there's it's almost kind of, I don't want to say it's been put on the back burner because
you have kind
of probably like you, my mind's always like looking at things or thinking of different things. I would say most
the baby
of my
goat yoga.
Yeah, baby goat yoga. Yeah. The throwback. It's funny. Like most of my stuff kind of just goes to like consuming the market. So I'm always on like biz buy sell. There's an online website where it's like where they sell companies or like businesses. So it's like businesses that are already like established or franchises even. But it's mostly like you can look up for anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country really. But I always kind of look in the surrounding 3 counties just to see like kind of what's selling. There's a lot of businesses where the baby boomers are starting to
retire. I've heard about that. Do you know who Cody Sanchez is?
I can't say for certain.
Nah, no. She promotes that all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, yeah, all the boomers, they have all these businesses that they're trying to find how to sell.
And they're most of them are profitable, to my understanding, too. So it's like, you know, just kind of finding and staying knowledgeable on different topics is kind of what I'm most interested about, because not necessarily in a position to, say, purchase one of those, but I'll be able to know if a good deal kind of comes across the table at really any time. So that's kind of where the thought process goes.
It's keeping your eye open.
You're gonna
find something, because I know you're gonna be like, oh,
hope so. I mean, that's the game plan.
I think you're very, like, you know, step one, step two. It's like you want to...
It's that long-term process.
Yeah, because you're working on the house right now, you know, and you're still thinking about, okay, what other businesses are, right? But I think you're going to wait till you finish this completely and then find...
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where the fun is, almost in, like, the hunt for a lot of things here, too, which is always, enjoyable, at least for me, but... In the meantime, a lot of the time goes to just fixing fences or moving stuff and cleaning up, really.
Yeah.
but I think especially on like the work overnights, whenever I'm out at, say, I typically like to do no longer than a 3-day trip. So that means like away from home for roughly 50, 60 hours.
Yeah,
because I'll start in the evenings and get home in the evenings roughly 2 days later, but it changes.
Yeah.
But then, you know, your downtime at the hotel, it's kind of like make it what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do a lot of like research stuff there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where my time goes.
Yeah. Do you think there's an aviation? There's so many mini lessons that you learn that I feel like you can just, you're told to add to your kind of, your tool mindset of stuff to be able to handle situations, how they come at you. Is there any that stick out to you and any that you use, like, you know, outside the airplane? I mean, inside too, obviously, but any like that come to mind?
I think the one that probably comes to mind for the most part would be like, forgetting the exact name of it, but it's like whenever you're like getting into a situation, let's say in the airplane, where like you're really zoned in on like one thing. So like, let's say you're coming in for an approach or you're coming in to land and you're just really focused in on your airspeed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your airspeed is not the only thing you gotta be looking at, right? You gotta be looking outside, looking at your overall pitch of the airplane, up or down, left or right, your overall lineup. But if you're just zoned in on the one thing, you're not taking in the whole picture. And I think that's probably the thing I relate to the most in terms of the outside world or outside of aviation, because I always try to take a step back and, you know, taking either both sides of someone's a perspective or opinion.
Is there a key word that you tell yourself almost, where it's like step back,
like a mantra or something? I don't think there is. I think regardless, like, I'm a pretty reserved person to begin with, so that's difficult. My first go-to is just kind of sit back and see what happens and kind of and make informed decisions rather than just reacting, because I mean, that's the other you know, if you have a problem populate in the airplane, like if you just react to the first thing you see, you might not realize that first reaction wasn't the main issue. So by fixing that one minor issue that you saw first, you might not realize you might actually have, you know, something bigger going on too. So I don't know. I don't necessarily have a mantra. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one that you taught me, because this is kind of how I've kind of applied to a lot of them. I have a lot of them, but the majority one is, you're always like, Daniel, stay ahead of the plane. Stay in front of the plane. You told me that all the time. And it kind of relates to what you were saying, you know, because I would get fixated on stuff, you know?
Yeah. And not just you, man. Yeah. Like, you can, like, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I like it because that's why I asked you that question, because
that's a good one.
Yeah, there's just little things that, for me, I almost feel like when I have mindsets or just kind of, I call them like tools and stuff, like they're just kind of little like just pieces that I, like fragments like that, where it's like, stay out of the plane.
Yeah.
Right? Or I've literally like, hear myself, it's so corny, like aviate, navigate, communicate for like the stupidest thing too. Yeah. Like if I'm like stressed out or anything, I'm like, all right, I just got to do this, you know? And then, all right, I'm just going to go where I need to go. And then I can tell someone like, hey, like, you know, this is what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
But like, I just get, like to get like control of a situation.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, stay in front of the plane.
I think another one too, that as you were saying, that kind of made me think of it, is like, don't get squirrely. That was another one. That your point, like aviate, navigate, communicate, with step 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good one, but I would, especially during like this last, like whenever you fly a jet, like there's a lot going on, and staying ahead of the airplane is like to an all new level, because you ain't putting around like a Cessna speed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a little different, man.
Yeah, it's a little quicker.
So things pass you, like, you know, coming down on approach, like you have to make an up down adjustment. You better do it quick.
Yeah.
But
definitely
not get squirrely. That's another one, because like, you know, if you get cleared to go land at San Francisco, well, you got to move an altitude to a lower. You have to set the altitude bug lower to continue the airplane's descent. But then you also have to make sure you're keeping your airspeed and your flap setting like all within all within tolerances.
Yeah.
But if you just, again, going back to focusing on the one thing.
Yeah.
Or if you start something but you don't finish it, and then you go start something else, it's that approach or that landing is going to fall apart. You
know? Yeah.
You have to try that again. But
yeah. I'm sure that's what your aptitude test picked up, you know? Kind of just that same mindset.
Yeah.
You know, kind of taking it step one, step two.
It's almost like self-led too. So it's like, you kind of have to be on it. on yourself to a degree.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. But what are I don't know if you're going to say something. I might have interrupted.
Oh, no, you're good.
But I was going to ask, what are some major differences that you see from general aviation and commercial, and is there any aspects of general aviation that you miss?
It's a good question. General aviation, so like for me, I kind of break GA into two sides, you know, as a student side and then as an instructing side. The instruction side was stressful because it's a lot of responsibility, especially whenever you go to solo a student. But I think it was also very rewarding, and also the place where I probably learned the most, because you kind of, it's not like you get in situations that are dangerous on purpose or anything like that. And as a good instructor, you stop it before it progresses, obviously. But you're still at a point to where there's two people in the airplane that are flying. So it's similar to the commercial side in that sense. But you're still, especially if you're up with a student pilot, it's still like a single pilot operation, where you're taking on more than just a single pilot position, because you're kind of playing second role, but you're still first role. So that's, it was definitely more stressful there. But the student pilot side of things, I really enjoyed the solo aspect, because there's nothing like flying an airplane so early on and like learning so much during like a solo cross country, or whenever you go do your commercial solo stuff, to where you have to fly a X amount of mileage to 2 or 3 different airports. But I would say the difference, the biggest difference would be the general aviation side of things. You're flying for yourself, while the commercial side is, you know, it's business.
Yeah.
So like, I don't get to choose which direction I go to, say, you know, Baltimore. But I can't go fly over that Lake Berryessa, or I can't go fly over Lake Folsom or whatever.
Just whatever the heck line.
I want. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, all right, first I try to, you know, kick the autopilot on around 10,000 feet. And then I'd kick the autopilot off, like whenever I'm at a good point on the approach, to where, all right, I got this, let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know, and as time goes on, you get more comfortable. And I mean, I definitely like hand flying, but autopilot is a lot more, you know, comfortable for passengers.
Yeah,
so like my thought is not what it's not about me at that point. It's more so about the passengers, but the GA side of things, you know, going and doing some stalls or doing some steep turns and just like cruising slow or in like really smooth air. Like I wouldn't go up when it's turbulent. Like, why? That's no fun.
Yeah.
But like some glass flying in the early mornings or late afternoons, like, whew, I do miss that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that being an instructor too, or a CFI, I got you. I remember getting you this cup where it was like, I forgot like what the corny joke was on it.
I still have it.
It's like, yeah.
And I literally just unpacked it today as I was moving in.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it say? It's like, let's see if I survive another day or something.
Let's see if I can survive being a CFI. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's something like that.
Dude,
yeah.
I swear. It's literally like in the kitchen.
I remember thinking it on the car ride over. I'm like, what is it?
See if I can survive being a CFI.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
But it's like, you know, because you are with a student that is like, you know, it's almost you come with the mentality of like, this guy's trying to kill me, you know?
You got,
I mean, not like that, but like, you know, you're just having to be so vigilant. But at the same time, it's, I feel like learning how to be a teacher, because that's kind of what you're learning how to do too in the same process.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so cool because I can imagine it's you being able to see how much can I let the student learn by himself, and in what point do I have to wait between the time difference of him catching the mistake or me taking over the situation? Because you ideally want the student to be able to understand,
absolutely,
oh, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm leading, like my mistake is leading to, let me fix it, right? But you have to be vigilant of like, all right, is the student gonna catch it? At what point is it a no, you know, go, no go decision?
How to make it into a learning experience.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, well, you know, he's gonna have to go around or something.
Oh,
or,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's, I think it's so, and I think you do a really good job at that, at being able to like kind of time it, right?
You were at the end of my CFI career, so that that explains it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I had more time to to learn myself how to be a teacher.
And more patience,
yeah? Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess you kind of, what is it? Is it patience, or is it you were with enough students that you kind of knew where that point was of like, okay, I got to take over, or he's going to be able, I can give him a little bit more time to see if he gets it. Like what is it there, you know, that you kind of.
It goes back to like kind of what I was saying with your vision expanding and being able to take in more of the situation. The more you do it, the more that happens. So like after you are a student, you get your CFI certificate, that first trip where you're taking a student up, it's like, whoo, let's go. All right, I'm here to teach you.
Yeah, I'm probably getting paid.
Right. No, it was a little nerve-wracking to say the least.
I bet.
So yes, those first few students, I apologize. No, I'm just kidding. like I tried to do my best, obviously, as we all do. But you're learning on the, it's one of those things where you're learning on the job.
Yeah.
I think I had sub 300 hours by the time I was a CFI. It was around like 286, if I remember, after I took my CFI check ride. And so then, go teach someone, you know, someone with zero knowledge of an airplane. Hey, I want to fly. Hey, I can teach you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as time goes on, you're right. You kind of relax a little bit more in the seat. You're taking in more of what they're doing rather than trying to do it for them. Those first couple lessons are just hard with anyone because it is such a foreign thing to anything else that we do. You know, driving a car for the first time, that's fantastic, but you've been in a car probably for many years before that, able to comprehend what driving a car looks like. Like the only similarities or aspect that you can see of actually someone real life trying to fly an airplane, unless you grew up with, you know, a parent or a sibling who's taking you to and from school in a small airplane, you don't really get the opportunity to see what goes on in the actual, you know, pilot seat.
Yeah.
So I think people, you really get to see a side of people that they may not even know of themselves, which is kind of rewarding in that sense, because it's a way into someone's mental and kind of into their brain, yeah. where they're like really trying to put a puzzle together in real time, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, no.
And
definitely.
Then the more you teach, the more you allow them to flounder, which then you really get to see light bulbs kind of start turning on.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it kind of just goes back to that. Just kind of, it starts out a little rough, but the more you do it, the more often you do it, the better you get at it.
That's so interesting you said that, because it's so true. Because when you learn something, I feel like it's just so raw, and you are just really in the moment. Probably because maybe you're terrified, right? Yeah. Or it's just something new. You're like, okay, I don't want to like mess up. I don't want to mess up.
Yeah, it's sensory overload.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, the more that you fly and stuff, there's things that might slip that you don't think about.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, like, or like when you see maybe a student that used to have a different CFI and then he flies with you, you see those kind of things that
different
after
course,
a while,
yeah.
that muscle memory that might not be the right one to mm-hmm. have, right? Just engages or turns on without the person knowing, just because it you got used to it, where you're like, hey, let's back it up and let's work on refine this. And I feel like that's almost harder. But yeah, it's just like you're just so zoned in the moment.
Oh, and, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't just go into aviation. That's just anything. Yeah. But aviation is such a great example because of exactly
how
what
raw
you said.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's and foreign too.
Yes.
Where it's like, yeah, you grow up seeing mom and dad drive a car,
oh, yeah.
you know, and then you're like, yeah, you probably don't see mom and dad fly a plane, you know?
Right, you might see it in a movie, but
exactly.
That's probably not the best correlation.
No, you probably shouldn't use that.
If I had a student come in and say, oh, yeah, I've learned from watching an airplane or, you know, some other, like, crazy, like, movie that's in Hollywood or whatever, I'd be like, all right, there we go, let's go see.
Have you ever had anyone come in and be like, you know, I use a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulators, so I know what I'm doing? Or
I've had two people that I can recall off the top of my head.
Were
that,
they good?
That had some background. They were good with systems. They were good with like kind of how to read certain instruments, but it's
still
very
foreign.
Different, you know, moving a mouse or I don't even know. Like, what do you use the arrows or a mouse?
Well, it depends,
or
you know, depends how much dough they have,
that's
right?
True. They have
like the yolk
thing.
And
that's true.
Yeah, it depends.
It doesn't always translate though.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're actually looking
different.
Outside,
it still feels different. Yeah.
But they may have an edge and to a benefit, but I also don't want to make the flight simulator guys think, oh, I'm good now,
because yeah.
they already think that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're like, you know, pilot, if anything happens, I'm just going to let you know.
I got the
3,000
hours.
Certified on Microsoft
I haven't had anyone tell me that yet at Southwest or SkyWest, so yeah.
Is there any memorable moments in commercial, you know, aviation that you've had that have stuck with you? I guess general aviation too, if you're, because I mean,
funny.
It's kind of new, right?
Still pretty new. I got hired at Southwest in November of last year, so
nice.
I'm pushing, and like I got my check ride completed, which is probably the most memorable, in February of this year. So that's about 6-7 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, SkyWest, I was there for about 1 year and 8 months or so. Most memorable stuff would probably be all the things that, and with GA too, you know, in general, are the ones where it's like either the oh shit moments, because that's what really sticks with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the most memorable flight I've ever had was the one I had 140 something hours, 145, 146 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So still a student. I wasn't instruction yet.
Uh-huh.
But it was when Kaylin and I, again, my girlfriend at the time, wife now, we were coming back from a camping trip in a 152 and almost like lost the engine, but it was like a fuel issue of some sort, or like a distribution issue with the carburetor. We were like at 6,500 feet and we're going from like a really cool like coastal place, and we were crossing over the hills like by San Luis Obispo and we were flying back to University Airport in Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up having to divert. Didn't lose the engine or anything, but like it got real rough, and like the RPMs were jumping from like over red line, which is I think 2750 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then like dropping down to almost idle. Like it was like violently vicious.
Wow.
And it was a crazy time. But we were like I remember like having her read a checklist to me as I was like trying to fiddle around and like, you know, look decently smart.
Yeah.
Mind you, I don't remember where I was as far as my certificates go. I don't think I was a commercial license. So I think I just had my private pilot license and I was probably working on my instrument.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the most memorable thing. Ended up dropping like in, coasting down to about 3,000 feet after running all the checklists, and the engine ended up returning fine. And I think once we got to lower altitudes, the fuel was able to run a little, like through the engine a little bit better, through the carburetor and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then landed uneventful at Paso Robles, and that was the most memorable thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, like commercial stuff, obviously, I haven't had anything crazy like that happened. Like they take, I'm not
hopefully
that
never.
The don't, but like, you know, commercial
good memorable.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like anytime you're putting a general public into an airplane, like that airplane is in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
GA or not, like even for like instructing planes, like, you know, you're an AMP, like they have more maintenance schedules. And as far as if it was just an airplane that I owned myself or whatnot.
Yeah.
But like commercial stuff, like probably just the check rides, like, or landing the jet for the first time, like it's
a good
big difference.
Yeah,
even flying the ERJ-175, which is a 76 passenger jet, to flying the 737, which is about, depending on the 737, almost twice that amount of people. But having a good landing is always fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you definitely learn from the mistakes and the just the overall early aspects, and that's kind of what sticks with you the most. So yeah,
what has been your biggest learning moment in aviation, that if you can think of one that could translate, that you can apply in all aspects of life?
I think this one is it's more so for my own growth than like just like an overall like bland stuff, but I think early on aviation's kind of shown me how, like, I think my biggest weakness is almost like having like an imposter syndrome, like almost like a feeling like I don't necessarily belong in the, you know, the first officer seat at a major airline or something like that, or, you know, like even at a regional airline. I think the learning of it, though, is like, one, you went through all the check rides to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it's more so just like a awareness that you are supposed to be here because you earned your right to be there by, you know, rigorous testing and actually like putting the effort in. But I think the biggest thing I learned is like, just like not necessarily believing in that voice that tells you, oh, I don't belong here or something like that. Like that's the imposter syndrome. Like, I don't feel like I belong.
Yeah.
But in reality, you put the work in, like, you just kind of got to own it, like, kind of put your shoulders back and, like, realize, like, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
No, go do work. Go do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's surreal, no?
You're absolutely, just like, dude. It's
freaking
crazy.
You're like, I'm here. Yeah, you're like, what the fuck, man? I'm here. I did it, you know? Yeah.
I have literally zero things to complain about. A lot of the pilots and captains that I fly with, because that's who I'm flying with, they have been through a lot more cycles than I have. Like, I got into aviation in 2018, and I kind of just made it the main thing whenever I got into it as a student. And it's now, what, 2024?
Yeah.
2024, so it's about 6.5 years from my demo flight in Los Angeles area to being 6 months in at Southwest.
Yeah.
So, like, riding that vacuum ride up into the left, or excuse me, the right seat in a 737, it did happen very fast, in my opinion. And for me, really. So, I was pretty happy about that. It was a wild ride, but you kind of just go with it, and it's like with any. It's almost like starting your own business, I would assume. I obviously haven't started my own business, but it's not going to work if you don't put the work in.
No, yeah. And I think I think kind of how you described it too is the fact that you're able to get it in that chunk of time is just the consistency, the grit that you put in, the work that you take on to be able to get to where you are.
Yeah.
It's just it's exponential, right? Because you can feel when you don't fly for a while how you get.
Oh yeah.
And then you keep doing it consistently.
Uh-huh.
And you see, you know, how quickly the progress goes up.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And it's like you were saying, it's with anything. It can be with business too.
Well, I think that's kind of why it boils down to just mindset. Like, if you have overall like a positive mindset or a positive outlook for anything, or like a can do, I'm going to do it regardless of who says what. Mm-hmm. Like, odds are you're probably going to do it.
Yeah,
like, that's about 80-90% of what the issue is. Like, just go out there and do something.
Yeah.
Like, if you just sit on your ass and just like hang out, odds are nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think aviation's been one of those things for me where I've just been able to see a lot of things. Well, that and business, that just translate to every, like, just sector. Like, what you're saying, just go out there and do it. You know, like, there's a lot of people my age, which kind of the reason why I started this podcast is to help people that are kind of in situations where they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm interested in business. Maybe I'm interested in aviation, right? But the fact that, you know, they want to build upon themselves to get, I think the key is to build upon yourself to be able to get to where you want to be. And I totally forgot where I was going to go with that. but just like, there's just so many lessons that people, they get stuck in an area where they're like, in college or in life, and they're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Right.
But what you're saying, and I believe that too, is just go do something.
Yeah.
You're gonna be better off. Like, what I imagine is you're at a fork in the road and there's paths, you know? You're gonna be better off taking a path that's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Than staying in the same place you were.
Yeah.
Because you're not gonna get that bigger picture.
Right.
Than you staying in the same place,
right?
Like, you getting fixated on an instrument.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anywhere. You're just not going to see the whole thing, and you're not going to gain more information as to see what the hell is going on outside of here, right?
Right.
And that's a good thing that I think I learned kind of throughout the aviation process for me and journey. And I'm still, you know, still going through it. I'm super young into it. And it's just, someone gives you an opportunity, take it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't like it, good. You found out that you don't like it.
Yeah, you can check that one off and try something else.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I really, like, appreciate about you. I mean, you got me on age, but, like, I think you might have me on experiences, especially in the aviation industry. Because, like, I just kind of went in and I was like, all right, goal, best return on my money, if, you know, for me was, like, airlines. So that's kind of what I made the main goal, and I kind of went after that. But you got what, your AMP, you're a private pilot, you're working on an instrument right now, last I heard, right?
When I move back,
that's right.
Yeah.
And then you're also like in the sale market, or it's like selling market, right? I forget what that thing was in Florida, but I was like, dude, this guy's looking dapper with that Learjet behind him. Like,
thank you, man.
So it's like, to your point, just get out there, experience some stuff.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing you can do is, like, going back to that fork in the road. It's like, if you're coming on, like, you know, like the country out here, you got a lot of places where you got intersections. So a crossroads, you got two roads that come to a four-way stop.
Yeah.
You come up from your path that you've been on. You come to the stop sign. You got one of five options to take.
Yeah.
You can go back the same way that you came, which, okay, might be good to reflect on, but you're not going to make any progress.
No.
You can go left, you can go right, you can go forward.
Yeah.
Don't know which either of those three are going to hold, but something different than where you're at.
Yeah.
And probably something better.
Yeah.
Because you still got the past behind you that you can build off of. And then the fifth option is you just sit there in the middle and not make a decision, which I think is the worst thing to make.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, might as well do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try something and then go from there.
Yeah. What's your equivalent to that? Do you feel like there's any paths that have popped up yet? Or are you still in the place where, because obviously you have a very solidified path of you know, continuing, getting seniority, having such a great career, having the, the investing in the house, investing in the farm. Is there any, like, have you seen any, like, different forks that you've kind of looked at while you've, I mean, you're, obviously you're very deep into the things that you are now, and they're still needing to have more nurtured, nurturing in order to get the fruition that, that you're looking for. But has there been any examples like that that you've seen?
I think the, honestly, like, just this property in itself is...
there's so much potential
in
here.
Was the initial thing.
There's a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And you can see it.
And that was like a fork in the road that... that whenever we purchased this place, or whenever Kaylin bought it back in the day, to where it was kind of like an option. Like, we were looking in town. We didn't really think this was an option until like kind of it came to market and right place, right time. That we were like, oh dang, that's manageable. Like, you want to, like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And we kind of rolled with it. And then, we've been here for, I think, 4 years now. And I mean, every single one of those trees out in the two pastures that we were looking at, the redwoods and all the willows, we planted those like year one, year two.
That's awesome.
So like they've already grown quite a bit.
Yeah.
All the fruit trees over there we planted, and it's like, so it's more so like taking that initial fork in the road of going into a house that we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
That we could have been in town and, you know, kept Kaylin's one horse out at her family's ranch down the road.
Yeah.
At her cousin's house. Or we could kind of come out and make this our own place and our own thing and kind of build off of it, to your point.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and the addition, it's, we're still adding to that road. And as you go further down, you'll have more forks in the road and you got to make the decision. But you kind of just roll with what deck of cards you're playing with or what hand you're on.
Yeah. Yeah. You get dealt. Yeah. With what you
and then kind of just make the best out of what you can't, what you got.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah. You're good. I was at an end anyway.
Oh, okay.
I was like, all right, here we go. I don't talk much, Daniel. I like to listen to podcasts, but like I said before we were rolling, I was like, this is my first time being on the receiving end of it.
Well, I think
this
has been good. I mean, like, you know, like, think about it. Someone that
good.
I think we just hit a lot of points where people are, you know, you can be somewhere you're like, I don't know what I want to do. Maybe it's aviation.
Yeah.
Okay, what is aviation top, you know, Brian? And looking at having this property and how you're growing it. My question was going to be, what's your, like, dream view? Do you have kind of a, like, in your mind, what does this look like finished?
House-wise? Or, property and, career and all that stuff?
Like,
or just here?
Well, and yes, career-wise, too.
All of it.
But I was talking about, this area here, and then, all of it, too. Yeah.
I think I need some more color. So, like, out here, it's, we're in the middle of August right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of brown stuff. The grasses are all dead, and the horses, the cows have ate down what's out there in the pastures, minus the stinkwort weed and the very little star thistle that's left. But I think I want to get more like greenery going on. So more plants.
Yeah.
You can see a little tortoise is out there too. He's about to go hop in his pool.
Where?
By this tree right there. The tortoise, he's hopping in the little
pool. Yeah. That's so cool.
Maybe not adding more animals, but providing a little bit better, like a better setup for all of them. Like I wouldn't mind having grass year round for the animals to eat off of. So I've been looking at and talking to people as far as setting up like irrigation that goes out from the well to creates green grass for
it's
the
harder
animals
than it
eat
sounds
off.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's more, you know, work, more money, but again, something that I can go work and pick up more shifts for, and over the years kind of set a goal to be like, all right, this is kind of what the game plan is, this is what I wanted to look like. So I think that would be the big thing. Now that we kind of got the inside looking at where we want it to, I think we're pretty set on that.
Yeah, no, but it's so beautiful. Such a great job.
You.
yeah And the fact that this came out of your head too, you know? Well, both of you guys
for the most part.
Well, sure, with some guidance of stuff, but ideally this is, you know, what you came up with. That's so cool.
What we want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love planting trees. I think that's my thing I like to do in the pastime. So I'm always looking for places to put more trees in.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more over by where I was going to do goat yoga.
Oh, yeah. So what ended up happening with that? Just other projects came in?
I don't know. I think having people come out to your own primary residence was something that was a little intimidating for me.
Oh, right.
So, again, kind of going
back. The insurance
back,
factor and everything. Yeah.
Having an accessible bathroom for people to utilize. Yeah. So then I was like, well, I don't really want to be looking at an outhouse or a porta potty type thing out here in my front yard. So there's some things where I was like, is it worth it? Maybe, but and then it also takes away from like my every other hour here at home. So I don't know. We like to enjoy the goats by ourselves. We enjoy having people out that don't necessarily get to have exposure to it, farm animals and that way of life. So it's good.
But I think at the end of the day, it's just cool to like come back from whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You're enjoying, you know, with your loved ones, you know, hanging out and just enjoying kind of the view, just relaxing. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's seeing what you built. Like, and you're like, dang, I remember when it used to look like this, you know, and I look at it now.
Yeah. Right? I got a picture with those willow trees to where they were like as tall as me.
Wow.
Whenever we first planted them. Seeing them.
Like, that's fast. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, enjoying the life outside is big, I think, for both of us out here, because we're not huge TV watchers. Used to be. I did, at least. But we're definitely more into just kicking it outside and doing what we're doing right now. So it's enjoyable, especially when you got a bunch of animals to watch and keep you busy taking care of.
Yeah, definitely. So what advice would you give for people that are wanting to get into aviation, explore, or kind of the same scenario, like you're at a fork in the path, you don't know what you're going to do, you feel like you have tight options or whatever, like whatever, maybe a better question too, that question, but also if you were to go back in time and give advice to your younger self, you know, when you kind of felt in that same situation, what would you tell yourself?
It's a good twofer. I would say like to just kind of slow down and think of your current situation, what the version of yourself 10 or 20 years from down the road will appreciate the most. I always think a little bit long term. You know, especially now being established in a company that offers retirement and all that stuff. I think the big thing is starting early with setting your future self up for success rather than your current self for what feels good in the moment. I think that would be like my big advice would be just kind of think of it in a long-term play. Like what decisions are you making now that is going to help you down the road? Because you may not have other people to kind of help your progress except for yourself in that moment in time. So kind of just crossing your T's and dotting your I's early on, I think helps make a difference. And then you can really reap the benefits further down the road in a larger meaning for yourself rather than just kind of blowing what you got with what you got at the time.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Was that both parts of that question? That
for him, I mean, would you not tell your younger self you'd give him that advice?
Enjoy it and also enjoy the process. I think, life is going to happen. we've all kind of been through things, and if not directly, indirectly, to where, you know, traumatic events that can really throw your life through the ringer. But I think, again, overall positive outlook or just like a positive outlook's a kind of a good perspective just to keep in mind, because the current feeling that you're dealing with may not always be the case. Like the sun's always come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even if some clouds are showing, like you're going to have some blue skies in your future.
Yeah.
But you also got to be able to look up at the sky rather than looking down and feeling bad for yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
So enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And it ain't always going to be pretty, but, just slow down and think about your future.
Yeah.
Intentionality.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll say that definitely in my aviation career, you've been one of the people that I've learned the most from.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's because you got me into it and, you know, you were my first exposure to it. And I think if it would have been anybody else, it would have been different.
Oh,
you know?
Shoot, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No, yeah. Yeah. You just...
You're a fun student to fly with, and obviously a fun person to keep in touch with, because, yeah, otherwise I wouldn't invite you over to my house. Yeah,
and I feel honored, man. This is so cool that I get to, because you hear it too, you know, in other places. Yeah. It's not common, so.
No, yeah. That's true. Well, and that's the other thing, too. You got to, you know, I had help with other people, and, you know, I'm not calling myself a mentor to you, but
I appreciate it.
I just didn't want to put words into your mouth. Yeah, yeah. But like having mentors and being able to become a mentor, I think that's been enjoyable, and just being a role model is kind of my goal to whoever.
Yeah.
Aviation, outside aviation, finances, just business, what, you know, anything and everything. I like learning, and I've learned from other teachers, and I think being a teacher is important.
Yeah, and you were a damn hell of a good one.
Nah, cheers, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really excited to keep staying in touch
and
seeing, you know, how you get along. And I know there's going to be something that pops up after building the house building the farm. So I'm just so excited to hear that too.
Likewise.
What other projects you
Yeah,
know,
I know.
Along.
You're getting back to Florida and. Yeah. Getting that stuff set up for your future too, so
yeah,
it's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, still going, taking a path. Don't know exactly kind of how it's gonna pan out, right? You only have so much of an idea. Same thing with what you're doing.
Right? Only
you
plan only have... for so much.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
See what happens whenever you get to it.
Yeah, yeah. But I know when you find something of good opportunity because you're looking for them, it's gonna be awesome.
If you don't, it's gonna pass you by.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Brian, is there any final things you want to add to the podcast?
No, I appreciate being a guest on From Ground to Great.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And I think listening and consuming all the podcasts, this experience gives me more appreciation for how much time and effort goes into actually producing quality content like you do yourself. I've listened to actually all the podcasts already, so
thank you. Yeah.
Dude, it's enjoyable to learn from other people's experiences and to further your own knowledge and experience.
Happy
to be a part of it.
Yeah,
well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'll give you a handshake there. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, this has been From Ground to Great with your host Daniel Ruiz Menest and your awesome guest Brian Poole. Signing out.